Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales.
Si, senor.
Sarah Tafoya.
That's my mom.
And Glenn Leverins.
This is Morning Air.
On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Wake up, America. It's Tuesday, May 23rd. Good morning and welcome to another edition of Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverins and studio producer Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for joining us here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. It's so good to be with you on this Tuesday in the seventh and the final week of the Easter season as we get ready to celebrate Pentecost this coming Sunday. Now, today is day five of the traditional Pentecost novena to the Holy Spirit. Each day, we pray for an increase of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And today, we ask for the gift of fortitude, a gift of the Holy Spirit that strengthens the soul against all natural fear and adversity, supporting it to the end in the performance of duty to fight the good fight of Christ. On Tuesdays, I also take a moment to remind you that we should pray to our guardian angel, even though you can't see them. These heavenly companions are present with you, so we should ask our guardian angel for help in our everyday lives. I want to bring in our Morning Air team, Glenn and Sarah. Glenn, what are a few of the big stories making headlines on this Tuesday morning?
Well, not wanting to leave all the fun to Joe Biden and Donald Trump, more folks signing up to run for president in 2024, including Senator Tim Scott. He's a senator from South Carolina. With this announcement, entered the Republican race yesterday.
The radical left are attacking every single rung of the ladder that helped me climb. And that's why I'm announcing today that I'm running for president of the United States of America.
I just love the way he did that, because, you know, and that's why I'm like, I'm going to announce, like, wouldn't it be, you know, crazy if he said, I'm ordering pizza for everyone? Like, that would not be what everyone was expecting him to say, you know, he's running for president. So I'm glad he fulfilled whatever. That was a big lead up. He had a lot of inspirational things to say. So that was a great, he had, you know, it's good to have these prospects, you know, out there. It's good.
No question. It was a great speech. In fact, Democratic political analyst actually admitted that it was a really, really good speech. He's an inspirational fella, and I love what he calls his story, from cotton to Congress. I mean, this guy is already an American success story. Even if he doesn't go far in his goal of getting the presidential nomination, he's already been a tremendous success.
Yeah, descended from slaves and running for president. That's pretty cool. Ironically, too, the second person from South Carolina in the Republican race, Nikki Haley, former governor, has already thrown her hat in the ring. And 10 years ago, she appointed Scott to the U.S. Senate. That's how he got his start there. And so now they're both in the race. And Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida expected to announce as soon as possibly this week as well. Of course, Donald Trump has announced a long time ago as folks are more officially getting into the ring. And the first caucuses, of course, come up early in 2024. So it's a long road to go yet, but it's getting a little more official and heating up just a little bit here as the summer sun begins to heat us up, too.
No doubt it is. There is a long way to go. In fact, yesterday I heard some speculation from some analysts Tim Scott possibly could be putting himself in a position to be a VP choice. Can you picture a Trump, a Tim Scott, a ticket?
Well, you know, many people that aren't seen as major candidates are often looked at like that. And who knows? I mean, Kamala Harris actually was out of the Democratic primaries even before the first one was held last go around and ended up being VP. So you never know.
You know, regardless of where any of these, candidates end in the end, it's so inspirational to see these people across America on both parties stepping up and saying, we believe that America can be in a better place, and sharing how they want to bring us there. Because sometimes, you know, I think we just get so bogged down with all the bad things that are happening, we lose that American hope that lives within us. And these kind of candidates who come up and start, you know, they reinvigorate that in us and say, yes, there is hope. We have a future and we can get there if we work together. So it's always good to see, you know, these, you know, it's annoying to hear all of the commercials and the bantering, but it's still inspirational, I think, for me to kind of at least to know that there is a future and we do have promise if we work together.
No question. And Tim Scott his campaign has already been described as optimistic, you know, bringing this positive message. He sounded like a preacher yesterday, in many ways reminding me of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., you know, even using some of his sayings, you know, about not wanting to be judged, you know, by the color of his skin, but by the content of his character.
That's a good thing to hear in a time when so many groups trying to divide by race still here in 2023. Also hoping for a trip to the White House, more of a celebratory visit. One series win away from that, but the Denver Nuggets, for the first time in their history, headed to the NBA Finals. They swept the Los Angeles Lakers 4-0 in the Western Conference Finals. Nikola Jokic, NBA record, 8th triple-double of the postseason. He had 30 points, 14 rebounds, 13 assists last night. And Denver hung on to beat the Lakers, and they're headed to the finals. They look tough, John.
That was they absolutely do look very, very tough. And that was despite a tremendous first half by LeBron James, who scored 31 points in the first half alone. He finished with 40. But the Lakers go down, swept for a zip. The Nuggets will be awaiting to see what happens tonight in Miami as the Heat lead the Boston Celtics 3-0 in the Eastern Conference Finals. So the NBA Finals are almost set yet, but there's still one more win for the Heat.
Yeah, and it should be noted, too, a good season for L.A. After a slow start, they started out 2-10 and to make it to the Conference Finals after that start. But, yeah, when you got LeBron James, Anthony Davis, good things can happen.
All right, on a much more lighter note, a fun story this morning. It's World Turtle Day today, and it obviously it evokes many memories of turtles and tortoises.
Oh, it certainly does. I had a turtle for about a week, I think, as a really little kid. Then my mom heard that they could carry salmonella, and it was gone. Excuse me, it was gone, and it was put into a large pond at a nearby cemetery. And I swear I saw a giant turtle there like 20 years later. Might have been the same one. I don't remember too much, but the name of the turtle was Tudor Turtle. And you tell me, that's a kind of a famous turtle through history, John.
That is a very famous turtle. In fact, one of my favorite cartoons from when I was a kid. In fact, I don't remember if I saw it live or later on, years later in reruns. But Tudor Turtle was very popular back in the 1960s. We actually have a little snippet.
What's that?
It's Tudor the Turtle, Mr. Wizard. I got another favor to ask.
Come in, my boy.
So funny. I love the turtle voice. You know, anyone who has to do the voice of the turtle, you have to decide, am I going to talk slow or have a weird voice? You know, you have to, there's always some kind of weird sound when a turtle is a character in a story. So I always love to hear the different reiterations. I didn't grow up listening to anything from the 1960s. I've never heard of that. So I'm going to have to investigate that, John.
It's pretty funny. I would imagine that it was more the Ninja Turtles when you were a kid.
Yeah, no, that was the turtle that was rocking around my house. Those are the toys and everything that I was into, and my husband too, for sure. He was a big Ninja Turtle fan. In fact, he was the youngest in his family, so he was almost like an only child, and he always tells me about all the cool Ninja Turtle toys he had, and I'm like, get out of here with that. Luckily, he didn't save them, so my kids can have those same cool Ninja Turtle toys.
Nice. It's always fun to be able to hand down those toys. Hey, and John, I wouldn't be surprised if you could do a little impression of Tudor the Turtle.
Oh, my goodness. No, that is outside of my repertoire. So
maybe in the next hour he can practice it. Okay, Glenn?
All right, guys. Happy World Turtle Day.
Thank you so much.
As always, we start every morning always in prayer, giving thanks to our Lord for all the many blessings. Every day is a blessing, and we always pray through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn, and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. Saint Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. Saint John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we invoke the Holy Spirit every morning when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. You can find us on social media, our handle on Twitter, at Morning Air Show, as well as on Facebook. And you can always send us an email directly, morningair@relevantradio.com. And our number, if you want to be part of the conversation this morning, 888-914-914. And now, once again, it is time for another Tech Tuesday.
Ready to assist you. Okay. Okay.
Google made a ton of big announcements at its I.O. keynote, including the launch of a Pixel Fold, Pixel Tablet, and the budget-friendly Pixel 7a. Plus, there were a bunch of new AI features that were also announced. Joining us live is our tech expert and longtime Morning Air contributor, Mark Mastriani, with much more on how Google's AI plans were unveiled during the recent Google I.O. Developer Conference. Mark is a passionate Catholic dad, husband with 20-plus years of technology, new product development experience for all things faith and tech. You can follow Mark on Twitter at GodLovesTech. Good morning, Mark. Thanks so much for joining us. Great to be with you on another Tech Tuesday.
Good morning. Happy Tech Tuesday.
Happy Tech Tuesday to you, Mark. Let's talk about the latest launch that Google announced at their I.O. Keynote a few weeks ago. Can you share with us a few of the highlights?
Oh, my gosh. This was a big deal. So let's take a step back. What is I.O.? You know, some of these big companies like Microsoft, Apple, and Google, they'll host a big, you know, consumer event for products that they're going to launch. But then each year, especially Apple and Google, host a developers conference to tease the development community, the software development and product development community, what is on the horizon. Because what they really need are people to jump in, use the platforms that they've created in order to have products launch at those consumer events that are just a few months away. So Google is unique. They kind of put the two together. They do launch a lot of their products, actually their budget-friendly phone, and they tease their next generation of flagship phones at their developer conference every May. So here we were, Wednesday, May the 10th, and what are we going to learn from Google? Well, I was expecting the Google Pixel 7a, the new budget phone, to have essentially the same specs as the flagship phone from last summer, last fall, the Google Pixel 7. I was also expecting their Fold to come out in the Android community. Samsung has a Fold, Motorola has a Fold. Now Google has a folding phone. It's nice and convenient and flat in your pocket or your purse during the day. But if you need to just unwind, if you're at work or if you're at school and you have an extra 30 minutes, you can unfold this phone. And it's essentially a square. It's about a 7-inch diagonal size screen. And you can have a larger content consumption experience. That really wasn't as big of a deal. You know where the thunder and the lightning really hit the stage last week was not really around their products. It was around their services. So what Google has been doing for over a decade, they've been teasing and hinting at artificial intelligence being used across all of their products. You can see it if you're a Gmail user. For all you Gmail users out there, they've been having sentence completion teasers in email, in Gmail, for years now. That's just the tip of their artificial intelligence iceberg. They are talking about a wide variety of artificial intelligence enabling platforms, not just products, not just services. These are platforms that people can use. One of them is an expansion of that type in and complete my sentence teaser in email. If you get an email and you're just in a place where you cannot respond, but it is very important, there's a little wand, literally a magic wand icon that'll be coming to Gmail very soon, that you can speak into the phone or give very short text prompts, and Gmail will write the email response for you, guided by you, looking at your writing style, and respond. So this is very interesting. It's already one step further from what they already provide with natural language completing my sentence style prompts within Gmail.
Mark, can you give us kind of an example, of what this would look like?
Yeah, say, John, you're sending me an email and it's about a very important business negotiation. You want to buy one of my bicycles in my garage, and you really like this particular bicycle, and you want to put these terms on the purchase. You know, I want to purchase it for this price on this date at this time. I can hit this magic wand in the response. Say I can't sit down at a keyboard, but I want to say thank you for your offer. I'm really excited about the sale of this bicycle. I'd rather sell it for this price on this date at this time. Well, instead of typing at a keyboard but still in a timely way getting that response back, you tap this magic wand. It gives you a small text box, and you can either speak or type a prompt that says, reply politely that I want the bike sold for this price at this date and this time. And it will take that information and send back to you a polite and formally worded email that from you to me, from me to you, stating the new terms of the bicycle sale. So that's just one example. It's possible that you might have an AI emailing back and forth to another AI with small tugs and prompts and kicks from each human on each side. So let's say the email has 500 words, but you may have only typed in 10 in order for the AI to formally package that idea into a nice letter format.
Is the ability to just speak the response, is that an example of AI?
It is, yeah. Just by natural language recognition, word recognition is one of the core pillars of DeepMind, which is underneath the surface inside of many of Google's products and services. Just as OpenAI now is underneath the surface for Microsoft products, such as Bing and Office, DeepMind is the AI that's been trained on billions of pieces of data over the last 10 plus years, that's underneath their new products and services at Google, such as Bard. Bard is essentially the Google competitor to Google, to OpenAI. You can create images using Bard, similar to the way OpenAI can provide images in ChatGPT. You can generate, using Bard, you can generate tables of information, and those tables of information, an example at the keynote was, can you please provide the top 10 schools that are specialized in faith-based journalism? and it'll give you the list of the 10 universities. Can you please add a column for their tuition cost and whether or not they're public or private universities? And it could take the same results and add columns to it. Can you turn this into a table? And the AI turned that information from a list into a table. And the last kicker for Google, because they have these productivity tools like Google Sheets, Google Docs, can you please turn this table into a spreadsheet in Google Sheets that I can share with my family and friends? So that's the last kicker. That's the way that it utilizes more of the Google ecosystem.
How do you keep up with all of these advances? It seems like there's so much that's coming out all at once. How does the average person, be able to figure out what is practical? What can they actually use?
Well, for me, I'll speak for myself, John. I like to try it in order to determine. It's part of that whole mindset of prudence. Is this a good thing for me to use? How should I use it, or in under what conditions and circumstances? Last week, after the keynote, they released the wait list for Google Bard, the AI assistant that can generate images and lists, and I started using it myself. Now, when you sign up for Google Bard, you just give your name, address, phone number, name, zip code, and email address, and you can start using this thing. So my strong suggestion to our Tech Tuesday audience out there is try it. It's not harmful. There's no tentacles or security breach risk where this AI is putting itself onto your devices. There's no contagion risk here. Try it. For me, I just asked it questions. I saw its responses. I asked it about, population trends and age trends in various countries. Take that result and can you expand it worldwide? Can you tell me a little bit more about what's happening here in the United States? And in each response, you get two things from Bard. You get multiple response alternate options. It gives you a primary response and it gives you alternate secondary responses that you can say, this one was actually better, I prefer it. And at the very bottom, you give it feedback. It's learning from everyone who's using it. For me, it gave me the information I was looking for. And then at the very bottom, it gave kind of this general observation about the trends that are happening in the world around population size and age. I didn't ask for that. So I actually gave it feedback that I enjoyed getting the data responses, but I wasn't looking for anything editorial. I wasn't looking for the AI's opinion on my topic. So I gave it feedback. My suggestion to you and our Tech Tuesday audience, give it a try. Try it for yourself and see when and how you might want to use it in your daily life.
Another thing that caught my attention is Google is launching a new feature in Google Maps called Immersive View. Can you tell us about this one?
Yeah, imagine it's pretty cool. It's a 3D image of your route, and it animates your route as if you're driving it from a drone about 100 feet off the ground. So imagine you're driving into downtown Chicago for the very first time. You're concerned about the different interchanges of major highways, which shoulder should I be on in order to get onto this other highway. You can not only look at the map and see it in 2D, you can rise above the traffic and see it with the 3D images of the Chicago skyline and Lakeshore Drive and animate it as if you were flying it from a small drone a few feet off the ground. So very cool feature. Google Maps has always been a couple steps ahead of the Apple Map app. And this definitely is another step forward in order to give you more comfort and more confidence if you're about to travel or drive someplace new.
And especially folks who are stuck in massive traffic jams in Chicago, L.A., New York, and some of our big cities.
You bet. Yeah, give yourself some alternate routes. Use the two together. Use Google Maps with Bard. Make some suggestions. You know, ask Bard, I'm about to take this trip, and it's going to be at this time of the day. Should I take which is the most efficient route to get to my destination? Maps has some AI built into it already and gives you predictive, based on time of day, can give you suggestions on which areas to avoid, but so can Bard. So give it a try.
One more. Google Sheets also has a new feature powered by AI. Can you tell us about this one?
Yeah, I teased it a little bit a moment ago, but I'm going to go one step further, John. Sheets is essentially the Excel of Google. And inside of Google Sheets, you can ask Google Sheets to generate business models for a lawn mowing business or a lemonade stand or a publishing company. And the AI will look at all the different business models and inside of a spreadsheet tool, give you a first draft that you can start from. The last thing is, as I mentioned a moment ago, results from AI search, which is their Bard tool inside of Google Search, you can turn output from one of those search into a Google Sheets that can then be shared with other folks to collaborate. So that's how they're trying to integrate their massive AI platform that they've been working on for years into more and more of their customer-facing tools and applications.
Well, Mark, as always, I really appreciate your expertise. You know this stuff really well. Really appreciate you sharing it with us.
God bless you. Yeah, give it a try and come Holy Spirit. I look forward to Pentecost with all of you.
Thanks so much. Mark Mastriani, our tech expert for all things faith and tech. You can follow Mark on Twitter at God Loves Tech. We need to take a short break. When we come back, a Catholic author and speaker and mother of seven, Emily Jaminet, will tell us about her new book, Holy Habits from the Sacred Heart. Stay with us. There's much more to come.
This is Morning Air,
your home for faith, fun, and news in the morning on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn and Sarah. Thanks so much for tuning in on this Tuesday morning in the seventh and final week of the Easter season here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. As we do every morning, our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from 1 Corinthians 11:27. The Apostle St. Paul writes, "Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and blood of the Lord." St. Paul taught that the Holy Eucharist was not merely a symbol that represented Jesus, but to receive the Eucharist was to receive Jesus himself. The transgression involved in receiving the Eucharist in an unworthy manner, that is, in a state of mortal sin, led to many of the Corinthians actually becoming sick or dying. All of us need to ask the Lord to show us if we are truly honest when we examine ourselves and confess our sins before receiving the Holy Eucharist in a worthy manner. We always pray with great confidence, that prayer from the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, "Jesus, I trust in you." Now, if you have someone in your life that you haven't been able to forgive, it could be either a friend, a relative, or even a spouse, or you haven't talked to for someone for many years because of shame, listen up. I recently spoke to Morning Air regular contributor Emily Jaminet about 10 ways to build stronger and more loving relationships based on habits and virtues that come from the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Emily Jaminet is a Catholic author, speaker, radio personality, wife, podcaster, and the mother of seven children. She's also the executive director of WelcomeHisHeart.com. Emily is the author of several books, including her new book that just came out, Holy Habits from the Sacred Heart. Here's the first part of my conversation with Emily Jaminet. Good morning, Emily. We can continue to say Happy Easter. Thanks so much for joining us. It's great to be with you once again.
Well, good morning. Good morning. And good morning to all those moms who are drinking maybe their first cup of coffee the day after Mother's Day, or those children that did their best to honor their mothers. And this is always such a fun Monday morning.
Absolutely. It was a great weekend. It was such a joy to be able to spend time with my mom and so many of our listeners that were able to spend time with their mothers as well. Before we talk about your new book, Emily, I wanted you to share with us why it's so important to have a devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, as revealed to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque.
Well, this devotion is the devotion because it recenters us back onto the person of Jesus Christ, who is fully present in the Holy Eucharist, who is always offering us this transformative love, who's inviting us into the family of God, really as the mediator between us and God the Father. So if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, if you're looking in those early steps, I can't recommend this devotion enough. And if you are like me, you've experienced this devotion for many generations, you will see that this is truly the greatest gift we can not only live, but pass on to our children, as Jesus appeared to St. Margaret Mary this December 350 years ago with this powerful message of telling us how much he loves us, that he wants us to behold his heart. He wants us to offer up our sacrifices to his heart and to live closely united with him and his love.
Well, I know that as the executive director of the Sacred Heart Enthronement Network, you have spoken about for such a long time and shared everything you can about the Sacred Heart of Jesus. What was your inspiration to write yet another book, The Holy Habits from the Sacred Heart?
Well, my first book, I really focused on the 12 promises, which is really beautiful, discovering the secrets of the Sacred Heart and the importance of these promises revealed to St. Margaret Mary. But what I realized is when we grow closer to Jesus, our life actually has to change. And that change begins within our own heart. And so my motivation was to really reveal what Jesus revealed to St. Margaret Mary, where he said that his heart was full of mercy, which of course we know through divine mercy, charity, where he revealed his heart that he loves us so much. He also talks about the grace that pours forth his heart. He wants to strengthen our faith and help us to be a better witness. But he also talks about that all virtue comes from the heart of Christ. And so to me, that was very touching as a busy Catholic mom with seven children. As I'm trying to live out an authentic witness, I realized I also need to enter into the school of the Sacred Heart to understand these virtues and allow the Lord to change my heart.
Well, Emily, our Lord Jesus revealed his Sacred Heart to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque now, you know, for 350-plus years, and yet more recently he also revealed his infinite ocean of mercy through the Divine Mercy devotion to St. Faustina. There's definitely a connection between these two devotions.
Absolutely. You know, St. Faustina has a beautiful devotion to the Sacred Heart. And I think that I love that you highlighted the ocean of mercy. It's very similar to much of the language of even Jesus revealing to St. Margaret Mary. He said, sinners will find in my heart the source, an infinite ocean of mercy. Same type of language that he revealed to St. Faustina. So it points to the fact that Jesus, our faith is tried and true. I love to tell that to my children, that it is provides that stability. It provides us the guidance and direction. And as we want to receive his mercy, the greatest gift, we also are called to enter into his this deep love relationship, this friendship, this honoring him as the King and the Lord of our life, so that we can even be a better witness in our Catholic faith and allow this to not only transform our own heart, our home, but I believe all of society as well.
Do you think that your new book will give some encouragement to build a stronger, more loving relationships with others by first having that relationship with Jesus?
Yes, because Jesus invites us to experience his love. And oftentimes when we look at our relationships in each chapter of this particular book of the Holy Habits from the Sacred Heart, I highlight a heart, an individual who needed God's grace in a new way. If it was through forgiveness, if it was a person struggling with shame, if it was a person struggling even with addiction, how the devotion strengthened them so that they had a new perspective on their own heart. One of my favorite priests here in Columbus, Ohio, Father Stosh Daly, one of our co-founders of our apostolate to the Sacred Heart, says that, you know, Jesus loves to rearrange, spiritually rearrange the furniture of our hearts and our homes. And a lot of times it's resetting the right priorities. So for me and what I've seen in this book and how it's set up as a devotional with reflection questions, lots of saint quotes, lots of insight, you leave a better person when you're done reading this book. You say, oh, there's some areas that I can work on in my very own heart so that these relationships thus can be transformed.
Emily, can you give us a little snippet of your book, Holy Habits from the Sacred Heart, this brand new book, and share with us a few of those habits and virtues that come from the Sacred Heart?
Sure. Each chapter is set up with a story from a heart, a few words of an individual who needed the love of Christ in a new way. And you get a glimpse, and that story is so relevant and so relatable to our own hearts. In that story, then we break it down and we look directly at many of the quotes from St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, even some church fathers, some popes, some beautiful saints, and directing us closer to the Lord. And then also some opportunity for us to do some inner reflection through some devotional questions. The other thing that I thought was very important is that we begin with welcoming the light of Christ into our own heart, first with docility, being open. A lot of times change doesn't happen because our hearts are closed. We're burdened with the past. We are overwhelmed with our own hardness of heart. And so we have to have some entry points for the Lord. And I believe Holy Habits from the Sacred Heart is that opportunity for you to not only encounter the love of Christ, but to do that inner glance so that you grow closer to the Lord.
You've been listening to my recent conversation with Morning Air contributor Emily Geminit, the author of several books, including her latest book that just came out, Holy Habits from the Sacred Heart. We need to take a short break when we come back. More with Emily as this Monday edition of Morning Air continues on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Wake up, America.
This is Morning Air
with John Morales, Sarah Tafoya, and Glenn Leverts.
Your home for faith, fun, and news in the morning.
And welcome back to Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I am John Morales. It's good to be with you as we continue with the second part of my conversation with Catholic author Emily Geminit, the executive director of WelcomeHisHeart.com and the author of her new book that just came out, Holy Habits from the Sacred Heart. Emily, before the break, we were talking about just a few of the habits and virtues that you share with us in your new book. I wanted to just kind of continue touching on a few more of those virtues that we can learn from the Sacred Heart of Jesus.
Well, thanks again for this opportunity, John, to talk about, you know, how we can improve our relationships through the Sacred Heart, allowing His love, that's the principle of this, to touch our hearts so that we have a greater ability to have hearts like flesh, like we read in Ezekiel, and that we let go of those stones and what I like to tell people, even pebbles that have really held us back from loving like Christ loved. We know that devotion to the Sacred Heart has renewed societies. We can look back to the impact this devotion had in Jansenism, in that time period of Jansenism when Jesus first appeared to St. Margaret Mary 350 years ago. And in this book, Holy Habits from the Sacred Heart, I break it down into some of the different virtues and really taking on the attributes of the heart and even the kingdom of God. So as I mentioned in the last segment, docility, you know, when we allow pride and stubbornness sometimes to blind us, it is easy to be misled and, you know, of our own self and to ignore truth. So we have to first just say, Lord, you know, show me your way, open my heart to you so that he can begin to work. I think that's one of the great places. If you're wondering where to start, it's allowing the Lord to touch your heart, to speak to your heart. But that doesn't just happen through thought. It begins through cultivating a prayer life. And everything in this book leads you closer to wanting that devotion, wanting to expose and honor the heart, which we've talked about, the enthronement of the Sacred Heart, creating a mini shrine in your own home, and then sharing it, being promoters, as this key role that we have in evangelization begins with encountering other people's hearts so that these other hearts experience the joy of our heart, the peace of our heart, the excitement to be alive, the gift, the inheritance that we know we've received, this beautiful gift of God's love that then we go forth and share. So that's an overview, but a really important piece for us as Catholics in our witness. It's not just catechesis. It's also how we live our life, how we interact with our very own family as well.
Again, if you want to be part of the conversation, if you have a special devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, we'd love to hear from you and taking your calls. For Catholic author Emily Geminit at 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. I know that our very own studio producer, Sarah Tafoya, here with us this morning, she's begun to read your new book, Holy Habits, from the Sacred Heart, Sarah.
When I got this book, I was thinking, yeah, of course, 10 ways to build stronger and loving relationships. I mean, who doesn't want that? Let's break right into here. And I flip it open, and it goes right to the page of, I think it's chapter 6, where it says, let go of control, grow in humility. And I was like, woo, whack, right to the head. How did you know that was exactly where I needed to start? Because I think, and then as I'm flipping through, I'm noticing the different chapters and the different things that to try to work on these different habits of, you know, having prudence and forgiveness and gratitude and all of that. It's kind of like, you know, in different stages of our life, some of that, okay, I don't really think I need to work on that. But then there's that one right now that someone out there needs to be working on. We need to be working on that habit. This is way more than, you know, one of those self-help books, because like you said, this is, okay, clearing out stuff in our soul, in our mind that we're cluttering up so we can be further away from Jesus that we don't even realize we're doing. It's just like, you know, you start collecting clothes year after year and then realize, wow, there's absolutely no room in this closet and I'm not wearing half this stuff. And so then you realize, okay, it's hard work, but you got to clear this stuff out. And with the control right away, I was like, yeah, I feel like, oh yeah, Jesus, I trust in you. But as I was reading through the chapter, I was like, I guess I don't trust him as much as I think that I do. And I really need to work on this. And that is a good holy habit that I need to be working on. So it's, thank you for writing the book and really just kind of breaking it down like this. Because again, these are things that I think we think, okay, we know the Sacred Heart of Jesus. We got it. We understand it. We're Catholic, but we don't. We don't understand it as well as we think we do. And no matter where you are in life, there's something in this book that is going to, you need to work through, and you don't realize that you need to work through it.
I wrote the book from my own heart's intention to, first of all, work on my own heart and realize the significance of my witness dependent on what my inner heart looked like. You know, how I loved my family, how they were able to receive my love, and making sure a lot of times control, you know, it's definitely really appropriate when kids are little and you need to make sure that they don't run into the road or they don't, you know, do those little things that they can get hurt. But yet at the same time, ultimately, God the Father is a loving God, and he gave us his son as our refuge. And what that looks like to turn our prayers, not just into, you know, Lord, please keep our children safe, but to continue to grow deeper and deeper so that we can say, you know, Jesus, I trust in you. So all of these chapters really enhance our prayer life, our understanding of the Eucharistic prayers at church, to, you know, even just that daily, Jesus, I need to trust in you. I realize that I'm coming from a really deep, dark place of control. And a lot of times, you know, I love to call them the counterfeits of love. And this culture is definitely full of a lot of counterfeits of love, and how we're presenting it to the next generation is really an important point for us to ponder and say, how can we bolster our witness of our faith, beginning with our own heart?
Well, I was thinking too, I mean, when you even think of, you know, you say you need to cultivate a love relationship with Jesus. I never even put that together, that my love relationship with Jesus, not just me talking to him and praying to him and telling him all the things that I'm struggling with or I wish he would fix in my life, but creating that love relationship with him changes and transforms the love relationship I have not only with my kids or my husband or my parents, but coworkers and people, random people on the street. All of that stems from my relationship with Jesus. And I guess I should know that, but sometimes you just, it needs to click at the right time. And sometimes it needs to click more than once. But I just love that connection that we need to have a love relationship with him. And then we can have a better relationship, like you say, with everyone else.
Absolutely. And as Jesus appeared to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque 350 years ago, you know, he said, you know, behold this heart that loves so much, but in return it receives ingratitude, coldness, and indifference. And so what that, you know, really tells us is that, you know, how do we respond to Christ? Yeah, the world might be falling apart. You know, there might be some real scandal out there, but let's take an inner glance. You know, what's going on in my own heart? And how can I better love, honor, serve, and even offer up acts of reparation to the Lord? You know, maybe it's this communion. Maybe it's a difficult job that I'm really struggling with. Maybe it's up all night with a crying baby. All of that has value. And what makes me so excited about this devotion is I've seen it lived out for generations. As my mom said, you know, this is fourth generation that we know of a family that's been trying to implement this beautiful transformative devotion. And we know full societies have embraced this because we've seen the image in every home, especially in Ireland and India, many of the Indian Catholic families, and even here in the United States. So it's an invitation to rediscover this devotion, to have an image in your own home. I can't say it enough. You know, put that image up in your home. Make him your refuge. Turn to his heart. Come to know his attributes and be transformed. And at welcomehisheart.com, we have so many opportunities for you to encounter the love of Christ, if it's through enthronement, if it's through our sacredheartrevival.com, or even just a webcast we have in June. But we want to teach you so that you can be transformed.
Well, Emily, we have the image of the Sacred Heart here in studio every morning along the Divine Mercy image. It's prominent in our own home. Can you tell us where folks can get more information about your book, where they can order it, and also who are you hoping that gets their hands on it?
Well, I'm really hoping every Catholic gets their hand on it, because I wrote it with the intention of reintroducing this devotion and helping people to encounter the love of Christ. You can find my book at any Catholic bookstore, of course, Amazon, but support those Catholic outlets, including Ave Maria Press is my publisher.
And that was my recent conversation with Catholic author and Morning Air contributor Emily Geminit, the executive director of WelcomeHisHeart.com and the author of her new book, Holy Habits from the Sacred Heart. And now it's time for another edition of Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today is called I Wish You Enough from Nicole Dedome. At an airport, I overheard a mother and daughter in their last moments together. They'd announced her plane's departure, and standing near the door, she said to her daughter, I love you. I wish you enough. She said, Mom, our life together has been more than enough. Your love is all I ever needed. I wish you enough too, Mom. They kissed goodbye, and she left. She walked over to the window where I was seated. Standing there, I could see that she wanted and needed to cry. I tried not to intrude on privacy, but she welcomed me in by asking, did you ever say goodbye to someone knowing it would be forever? Yes, I have, I replied. Saying that brought back memories I had of expressing my love and appreciation for all my mom had done for me. Recognizing her days were limited, I took the time to tell her face to face how much she meant to me. So I knew what this woman was experiencing. Forgive me for asking, but why is this a forever goodbye, I asked. I am old and she lives much too far away. I have challenges ahead, and the reality is her next trip back will be for my funeral, she said. When you were saying goodbye, I heard you say, I wish you enough. May I ask what that means? She began to smile. That's a wish that has been handed down from other generations. My parents used to say it to everyone. She paused for a moment, looking as if to try and remember it in detail, and smiled even more. When we said, I wish you enough, we were wanting the other person to have a life filled with enough good things to sustain them, she continued, and then turning toward me, she shared the following as if she were reciting from memory. I wish you enough sun to keep your attitude bright. I wish you enough rain to appreciate the sun more. I wish you enough happiness to keep your spirit alive. I wish you enough pain so the smallest joys in life appear much bigger. I wish you enough gain to satisfy your wanting. I wish you enough loss to appreciate all that you possess. I wish enough hellos to get you through the final goodbye. Philippians 4:9, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you.
Fantastic message, as always. Thanks so much, Glenn. Really appreciate it. You can always download and listen and share any of Glenn's story corners. Just go to our Morning Air podcast. Now, coming up in the next hour here on Morning Air, Catholic evangelist Martha Fernandez Sardina, the founder of RememberYouAreLoved.com, will join us to continue our discussion on a new Pentecost for a new evangelization. Plus, Catholic apologist William Albrecht will be with us to discuss some of the common objections about the teachings on our Blessed Mother Mary. So you're not going to want to miss that segment as well. So stay with us. We are just warming up. There is much more to come on this Tuesday in the final hour of Morning Air here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.